there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and LasVegasSun.com. I contribute to the new weekly magazine called The Sunday, which comes out on The Sunday, except when it comes out on Saturday, and all the other titles in Greenspun Media Group. Joining me, as is customary, is Tricia McCrone. T-Mac, what's going on?
Nothing much. I am currently living my free time watching the marathon binge viewing of Game of Thrones. That's pretty much all. If I'm not, like, hanging out with you, I am pretty much watching Game of Thrones.
What is Game of Thrones? It's Game of Thrones, Game
yes,
of Thrones.
Yes, Game of Thrones.
Plural and is Thrones, single is Game. Okay,
yes.
What is it? Describe this to
it
us.
It is I don't know. It's one that, because, like, I looked at it for years, like The Hobbit, whatever. Like, it's kind of not my thing. I'm not exactly a Lord of the Rings type of audience.
And you're the Lord of the earrings.
Exactly. Ooh, I am the Lord of the earrings. But then, you know, it's like other people start, I just keep hearing about it. And I was such the Breaking Bad fanatic that I'm like, if enough people talk about something that's good, I should check it out. And sure enough, I'm hooked. It's no Breaking Bad, but it's very good.
So where are we in the production of Game of Thrones? Where is
right now? It is a total of 4 seasons, and I have 2 episodes left as of this morning.
And where are you?
And season 3.
And what in what form are you watching? So you Netflixing?
No, it's not on Netflix. I watched the first 2. I paid for them on iTunes, so I watched on my Apple TV. And then the 3rd and 4th are on Cox Cable On Demand. So
right on. So yeah, it's worth that, huh? Is that the next big thing on TV right now? Is that the
Game
best,
of Thrones?
Yeah, is that the
it's,
best
you know, it's
series
fascinating.
Right now?
I have to say, there is a lot of naughtiness going on. I was surprised at the amount of nudity.
Ooh.
Yeah,
well,
that's all I'm saying.
All right.
Did I hook you now?
I don't know. You know how it is. I'm so frequently not in front of a TV.
Most of my life, I'm not
in front of a TV, and I don't feel like I'm missing much.
No, you're missing a lot.
Maybe I am in certain conversations.
Like, I mean, yes, but, exactly. Like, I mean, okay, think about it now. Mad Men is over, like, for the, you know, almost going to be over for good. So I lost
Mad Men, which is a TV show.
John Hamm appeal until obviously today when our guest came in, gave me a little. John Hamish. Mad Men's over. You know, so many of my shows are over for the summer that I, you know, it's kind of like I binge watch and I like it.
Right. Well, I don't besmirch anybody who spends that much time in front of the TV. And I, you know, my problem is, and I've said this before, is that I do get hooked pretty easily. And I've, over the course of time, I've watched a lot of TV that's not real high caliber in my life.
Yeah, well, see,
I used to be a huge All My Children fan. Huge. I used to be huge into Melrose Place. Huge in the day of the Melrose Place. I used to think I was Michael Mancini.
Oh, you have a little Michael Mancini in you.
You should have seen then. I was a really Michael Mancini-esque. So I feel like I would be susceptible. And it's not because of, it's, you know what it is? It's only because I always plan outside of viewership. On TV, I plan outside of it. I don't plan for it. And it's a planned thing. So maybe.
I know, but binge watching, you can do it in your free time. You don't have to actually catch it. Like back then, you had to like sit there and watch it.
With
DVR and binge watching and Apple TV and Netflix, you can just, you know.
And binge watching is now a term?
Yeah, it is. It actually is. And I always thought that I was one of the only ones that said it, but now it's a real term.
You binge on anything?
Yeah, you can. I guess
you could binge drive.
Binge TV is very healthy, other than the fact that you just can't go to sleep because you're like, oh, wait, one more episode. But 2 things. One, I have a congratulations out to our first 2 guests ever on Cats with a Dish, Wayne Newton and Holly Madison, were nominated at the Second Chance Prom that Mark and Mercedes put on, our friends over there at Mix, that they were voted the prom king and queen of Las Vegas.
94.1 The Mix puts
on.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. I hadn't remembered that they were our first two guests.
On our first show.
She was our first scheduled guest, but Wayne was the actual first guest.
Yes.
Who came in.
Because he did a host chat with us, basically. Yeah.
That was right.
So, and does our theme song. So it was really cool. It was a fun night. And it was funny because Wayne missed his prom because he was performing in Vegas. So I'm like, not many people could say that the only prom they ever went to, they took a Playboy centerfold.
Did Wayne really not go to his prom?
He was at the Fremont. He opened at 15, so he didn't go to his junior or senior prom because he was working downtown.
Jeez.
Yeah.
He got to be an adult really early, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. People don't think of the sacrifice that happens in a career like that. I mean, there's a lot of when I was 15, I was not equipped to be a performer in any capacity. You know?
Are you kidding me? I had my first kiss and was like freaked out about it. You know what I mean? Like I was 15.
I couldn't even,
I couldn't even remember the plays we were trying to run in my JV basketball team, let alone music lyrics and play instruments in front of people. So that's, Pat's an underappreciated component of his career, what it's like to be a teenager on stage. We'll have to talk about that sometime.
We will. We'll have to do that.
But until then,
we have someone who you know very, very well. I know socially, but you work with literally next to a lot of occasions.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time together on the red carpet. And he's recently left People magazine, and he's off to Parts Uncharted. It'll be he's Mark Gray. He will be our guest this week. But first, it's Josh Bell with movies. So stick around. I know we will.
Hi, this is the Gazillionaire.
And this is Penny.
And we're from Absinthe, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yo, yo.
Yeah! You all right, Cage?
I think I broke something.
What?
My back. The only thing I can feel are my lips.
Now listen carefully. This is a very important rule. This is the only rule. You get injured on the field, you better make sure you die.
That's Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt in the sci-fi movie Edge of Tomorrow. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. What starts out looking like a standard humans versus aliens action spectacle becomes much more engaging once Cruise's soldier William Cage discovers that he's acquired the alien's ability to relive the same day over and over again, and he sets about training himself to defeat the enemy. Edge of Tomorrow is clever and even poignant during its first two-thirds, although the climax turns back into the generic alien invasion thriller that seemed to have been averted early on. I give Edge of Tomorrow 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is The Fault in Our Stars, based on John Green's popular novel about two teenage cancer patients falling in love.
Let's go watch a movie.
Okay. I'm free later this week.
No, I mean now.
You could be an axe murderer.
There's always that possibility. Come on, Hazel Grace, take a risk.
The love story between teenage cancer patients Hazel, played by Shailene Woodley, and Augustus, played by Ansel Elgort, unfolds as a typical romantic melodrama, but it's delivered with some uncommon thoughtfulness and respect. Woodley is excellent at playing tough, smart, vulnerable teenage girls, although Elgort comes off as a little smug and insincere. I give The Fault in Our Stars 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the recently former Las Vegas correspondent for People magazine and People.com. He was in that post for 8 years. Wow, that's a long time. Until the end of May, when he decided to leave the company. Unexpectedly. It was unexpected to me. He is now a free agent, as they say in baseball. Here to talk about people and people is Mark Gray. Mark, welcome
Yay!
To our show.
Good to be here, guys. Wait, How's everything?
Repeat that recently.
The recently former.
That was good.
It was a shock.
I know. Yeah. I think that you should make business cards that say recently former.
when I told John, he's like soon to be ex. I believe his email is directly back to me. I mean, moments after I sent the email was, what a shocker.
There you go.
It came to me, and I just happened to be right on the email
And
file,
speaking of free agent,
it was boom.
I'm going to LeBron this. Where are you taking your talents?
Well, Pappy. You know, I haven't really decided just yet, but I will probably still continue to do some freelance. I'm staying in Las Vegas, and right now I'm going to do some freelance work still for People and People.com. I also have a couple assignments coming in with Rolling Stone.
Nice.
And I'm doing some stuff with
Wonder. You play bass for the band? Is that it?
Yes.
You're talking about the magazine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, when Keith is sick, I'm going to sub.
Exactly.
You're going to sub all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm also doing a little bit of stuff for Wonderwall.com, which is the leg of MSN.
Oh, okay. So you got a lot going on.
Oh, so yeah.
So take us through Mark Gray. I met you when you were at Curve and Doke Communications, and you were a coordinator?
I was a FLAC, yeah.
A FLAC.
A lowly FLAC.
A publicist, a press agent. And among your accounts were Studio 54.
No, I had...
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia was one of them.
Oh, and Mamma Mia's back.
Yes, the full circle.
Who would have thought Mamma Mia would outlast you in Las Vegas?
And at Pure, which also just closed.
Pure
closed.
You
know, that was mine as well.
We should have had your going away party at what used to be Pure.
And People Magazine just stopped subscribing to anybody.
Yeah. I had a few of them. I had Gordy Brown at one point.
Right.
I had...
Venetian days, right?
Yeah. The Bellagio Gallery of Fine Art was one of mine back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on... Pure became just a behemoth at that point. Pure Management Group now, AMG,
right?
And now guess Hakkasan Group.
Mm-hmm. So. We've covered all that. Right?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pure just blew up, just the company as a whole. And so eventually, it just got to the point where I pretty much did, for the most part, just Pure and Mamma Mia, and that was it. And everything else got divvied out to other coordinators and executives.
So how did you land the job at People in the first place? How did you make that leap? Because that's a pretty significant jump for somebody in that position in PR.
It'd
be a big deal in media.
Right. What had happened was, you know, I was a newspaper reporter in little lowly Ogden, Utah for 4.5 years prior to that. And
home of Weber State University.
Where I went to college. Right. Go on. Wildcats.
The mighty purple and white.
Wow.
Weber State, great, great, great.
Wait, aren't there some Osmonds that are from Ogden?
The Osmonds are from...
Heber.
Are they? Yeah. Also from Malad, Idaho.
Yeah, there you go.
Originally.
The Osmonds, though.
Yeah, all of them.
The sons and brothers of the state.
There you go. Okay, so you were a writer there.
Yeah, so I was a writer there, and then I just wanted a change of pace. I wanted a change of everything, and... So I moved to Las Vegas after I kind of just applied on a whim to this agency called Curve and Doke, which I had no idea who they were, what they did other than PR. Didn't really know if they were a legit company for the most part either. I kind of did some research.
I've been wondering that for
yeah.
up until today.
Imagine the call that Katz is going to get from Dave Curvin later.
Sorry, Dave. Bill.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry, Bill Doke, for that matter.
There you go.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I... when I researched Curve and Doke, actually, it was right after the Siegfried and Roy incident. And it said, you know, all over the place, spokesperson Dave Curvin. So I thought, oh, this guy must be legit. I applied. For whatever reason, they gave me the job. And over time, they gave me the Pure account, Pure nightclub account. So I did that. And when it came to celebrity press in particular, what they were doing was basically sending it out, you know, at Pure Nightclub on Tuesday, : George Clooney or something like that. And I looked at it and I said, I think there's more that we can be doing with this. Mm-hmm. And so I started going to the club. Just, I thought in my mind was the club is open to the public. Any member of the public can see anything in the public eye. And so I just went to the club and I would just basically for all intents of stalk the celebrity, you know, and I would just go back and I would write this detailed piece about what they did in the club. And I would send it off to, you know, the People's, Us Weekly's, Access Hollywood's of the world and things like that.
And at the time, nobody was really doing that.
And nobody was doing that
on our
time.
Side of it. It was an interesting way to report and promote an event.
Correct.
As if a reporter were there. Nobody was really doing that.
No one
that
was
time.
Doing that.
Right.
Then. And now it's the norm.
No, everybody does it.
Yeah. So I did that, and just out of the blue one day, one of the writers from People Magazine, who I'd been working with, you know, to get Pure Nightclub, you know, press and publicity, emailed me back and said, "You write like a reporter. What is your story?" And I said, "You know, guilty as charged. I was a reporter back in Utah. You know, for
you
four
were
and a half years.
Former, a recently former recently reporter. Former, okay."
Yeah. So she said, you know, we send a lot of people out to Vegas and they don't get the stuff that you do. And I said, well, that's probably because, you know, I have probably a little bit more access than them inside the club, but I'll take it as a compliment. And she said, what would you think about working with us one day and working as a staff member? So they flew me out to LA about a week or two later, interviewed with them. A week after that, I got an offer.
Wow.
To be on staff. And 8 years later, and there was no template for me either because there was nobody who had my job before me. They created it for me.
Wow.
And so I didn't really know, still to this day, I guess, if I was doing a great job, a bad job, a mediocre job.
Above average when there's no, it's just exactly. No baseline.
It was status quo.
All I know is for 8 years, the paycheck cleared.
There you go. That's all that matters. So now is somebody going to, are they going to put somebody else in that spot, or are you as freelance going to just kind of still fill that spot?
Yeah, I'm still probably going to fill that spot, I think. They don't have any plans to fill it again. And from what they've told me, they still want me to do everything I did for them, just in a different capacity. And it's fine by me. It's totally
great because
cool.
It opens you up then to correct. Do the same thing to other outlets.
Right, yeah. Like you said, I'm a free agent now, and I don't have that contract sitting over me that says I'm contractually obligated to only write for people. And now I can, you know, dabble with a couple others. And I'm not going to go the route of working for competitors of people because that's just not my style. But, you know, Rolling Stone's not really a competitor for people and, you know, some of these others. And, you know, some of the local Vegas magazines have talked to me about writing for them as well. And they're also not competitors of Rolling Stone or People or anything like that. And so I'll probably just kind of play it by ear right now.
In media, I want to ask you this, Mark. In across the country and regionally everywhere, there's a lot of drawdown going on. And we were looking at it. We just had a situation with the Register in Ocean County had offered buyouts and severance packages and furloughs to its reporters. Just happened yesterday. Are you at liberty to say if that was the case with People? Are they going through some cost-cutting measures, and were you affected by that?
Well, what I can say is this, is that, you know, People is a part of Time Inc. now, which as of just 2 days ago on the 1st, they became a standalone publicly traded company.
Okay.
And so they broke off from Time Warner, which was kind of a nice little cushion for us to lay on at night because they had HBO and all these big money makers and whatnot. And so we broke off on our own, and they took measures they saw fit to, you know, start the company from day one the way they wanted to.
As if it were a startup, in other
correct,
words.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It's like an established startup almost.
Okay, yeah, all right, I get it. Yeah, I see that. So that leaves you an option of taking a bunch of money and being a free agent or riding it out, right?
Right now, I'm just taking it as it comes.
Yeah, I don't want to put you in a position to disclose anything you can't. But, you know, we see this in media all the time where there's restructuring and drawdowns and giving offers to people and, you know, and reporters who were full-time one place becoming, you know, multifaceted. Tell me about what one of your favorite or some of your favorite stories were with People
that's
over the years.
That's just what I was wondering.
Dish probably was going to ask that.
Because I'm into like the gossipy stuff. Like out of all the things that you've done, what are some
She's
of the
a consumer
highlights? I'm a consumer. Hey, I have a subscription to People. It comes every week.
I could, you know, it's a question I get a lot. And it's also, who are your favorites? Who are the worst? I get that all the time as well. You know, some of them are not, I'd say some of them overlap as far as favorites and most interesting. Some of them are different, but as far as most interesting experience I've probably had.
Besides being here today.
Yeah,
of course, yes.
Obviously. Okay. I think, you know, one of them that immediately springs to mind was when Pam Anderson got married to Rick Solomon the first time, because they're married again, which I want to say was in 2007 or so.
Was she in the clock shop then? Yeah. I remember this.
It was whenever, that show was on.
It was about 07 or 08.
Yeah, right around there.
That whole clock era is a blur.
Right. We had found out that she was getting married. I don't think it was that big of a secret either at the time, if my memory serves correct. And, you know, they wanted someone in there. And I said, you know, how can I get in there to this thing? And they told me, you can be not at the wedding, but the reception if you bartend.
Oh my gosh,
and so
I
had to temporarily be a bartender at Pam Anderson's reception in one of the villas at Mirage.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Now, had you had any recently experiences bartending?
I was a bartender in
the busy drinking town of Ogden.
Yes, in a smaller town of Layton, Utah, actually.
So in other words, they're not asking for anything fancy. Like it's just a beer, a red or white, basically, is what you were used to.
And that's what I was hoping for with this thing, too. And if someone asked me for something else, I would kind of just turn and pretend like I didn't hear, act like I was busy filling ice. It was all I had. That only lasts about 10 minutes, and finally they realize this guy doesn't know anything.
So then what did you do? Did you just like then, I mean, how did you get the story? What did you do? Okay, so you're in there as a bartender. How did you transition into reporter mode?
Well, I mean, a lot of what I did was just observation. And in that, you know, if I'm there in the room, I can kind of see everything that's going on in there. And we're not talking anything salacious. We're just, you know, just want to, as a writer, we want the reader to feel like they were there the whole time. And the more
you're right in the epicenter too there.
Yeah. And the more detail you have, the more they feel like they're there. You know,
like,
the color
of
the
flowers. Like, did you sneak pictures and things like that?
No, I've actually never taken a photo.
Wow.
Ever for anything like that. And I actually did something on New Year's Eve when Katy Perry played Caesar's Palace. I was at the show. It was like a little private show for their high rollers. And I took a photo with my iPhone at that point. And we actually ran the photo, but that was, you know, a concert. That wasn't anything, you know, super private.
Yeah.
And, but no, I've never actually taken any kind of photo like that whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm strictly a wordsmith.
And you're pretty late to the equation when it comes to doing Twitter in general, right?
I am.
I remember when you just had started being active on Twitter.
Yeah. In fact, I made the joke. It was also partially true at the time that I got on Twitter because Charlie Sheen did. Remember, because he held out forever.
Yes. And then he had like a million in one day.
A million in 24 hours.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Uh-huh. And I was one of those million, I'm proud to say.
Me too.
I'm sure I stood out.
Exactly. It was all you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did too.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
did you get your thank you note? I did. Charlie. Yeah.
He was also one of my favorite people to interview, actually.
I know.
Charlie
I was
going to
ask. Tell that story about the night that he showed up at Chateau.
At Chateau? Yeah. I had actually interviewed Charlie once or twice before that, maybe even more than that. And every time, the first time I had ever interviewed him, it was supposed to be at like 9 p.m. or something around this. And if I remember correctly, it was at Privé over at Planet Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
And Charlie was a good hour late to the interview. And we were wondering, you know, what was going on. But, you know, I'm a baseball nut. And I didn't really mind because it was a TV right there. And it was the World Series. And I think it was Philadelphia versus Tampa, which would have been, I don't know, 08, 09, something like that.
Oh yeah.
And I was, and the game was in extra innings, and I was like, "This is great. As long as he keeps staying late, I can keep watching this game."
Yeah, exactly.
The game ends, and not 5 minutes later, he comes down.
So he was doing the same thing.
And he comes down. He apologized profusely, and he says, "I'm really sorry about this. You know, I was upstairs watching the game, and I couldn't pull myself away from it. So that's what I was doing too."
he's a huge baseball fan.
Yeah, he's a Reds fan.
Reds.
And
hey, he was a Cleveland Indian in the movie. Okay.
Yes.
Major
wild
League.
Thing. Fun fact.
Yes.
You know where that was filmed?
Was
in
it Baltimore?
Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
Yeah.
County Stadium.
That's it.
Right. And then didn't one time Sheen bought the whole left field section at Anaheim.
He
to
did.
Get a home run ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I talked to Sheen that day. We talked about baseball for, I don't even know how long, I mean, a good 20 minutes, which, you know, in terms of interviews, that's an eternity.
Yeah.
And then I saw him again. He was promoting a shirt line one time at, I think it was Magic. And I talked to him then for another 15, 20 minutes, mainly about baseball. So he knew me pretty well. And then I saw him at this thing at Chateau. It was in the middle of the epic Charlie Sheen meltdown.
Yes. The dragon blood.
Yeah. And he was 2 hours late. We weren't sure if we were even going to speak to him. And, we all came armed with a couple of questions, hoping to even get one in. I think I got one. You were there, right, Johnny? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was your question?
I was on the other side of that. I was on the other side of the carpet.
Were you?
You were on the entry side.
Yes.
Then there was a picture in the middle.
Correct.
Of the side. And then the middle.
Yeah.
The end. And I was opposite where you were.
Yeah.
Which was not the place to be
no.
this night. Charlie never made it.
Because one of the he'd been dating, you know, the three porn stars at the time. Mm-hmm. And one of them, I think, was kind of on the down low or something like this. And I remember one of the reporters from another magazine had asked him, I can't even remember the girl's name, but what does, you know, so-and-so girl think about this? Or
he asked about the one he
What about this one?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was the one they're kind of trying to keep.
What about porn star C?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Charlie just looked at him dead in the eye and said, "That's the only reason you're here tonight, isn't it? Just to ask that. You're not here for anything else. You're not interested in anything, are you?" And he had one of those, those little like lollipops. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they issued him a
lollipop.
Like the sugar factory lollipops. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he's just waving the lollipop at him.
He's That's right.
Very like much a warlock nature.
Like he was drumming on his head.
Warlock. This puts it in great perspective when you find yourself on the receiving end of Charlie Sheen gesturing at you with a Sugar Factory celeb.
Because what's more terrifying than being attacked with a lollipop?
Exactly.
The whole thing about Sheen was terrifying to begin with. But then he went out and posted for some photos and that was it.
Yeah.
Too often that's the case with red carpets. You like the red carpet, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to the red carpet. I like the red carpet. I don't love it, but I've got a lot of great things on there before.
Yeah, name something great off the red carpet that you've gotten. Because I've never, other than making fun of the red carpet, never gotten any material out of the red carpet.
Well, I can do a very recent example that was kind of, I would say red carpet related, but not on the red carpet. See, what I'm doing is I'm taking
the red carpet.
I'm taking
the showroom.
The recently former red carpet reporter.
Okay. I was on the red carpet of the Billboard Awards, and I was standing there, and Miranda Lambert's publicist walks up to me, and he says, "Hey, Mark, when we had a terrible spot for the red carpet, you had a worse one, I think.
Yeah,
I remember, John."
Uh-huh. I always have a worse one than people.
And
that's why I end up standing next to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, buddy.
That's what we do.
Mark, you want a water?
And, need a Tic Tac? Oh, wait, I'll just put myself right here.
We usually have different interests, however, so it works out.
I get there when I need to be there.
Yes.
I don't hang out just to be hanging out. But yeah, that's true. Because people in that context is a big deal. It's a national publication.
Right.
And the Sun, Las Vegas Sun, Greenstone Media Group is a regional publication, and you know the Miranda Lamberts of the world are going to want to talk to people.
Yeah, and she didn't walk the red carpet. Her publicist was walking down. He saw me, and he came up and he said, "You know, how's everything going down here?" And I said, "What do you think?"
Yeah.
And I've known this guy for years, just from all of the country things that happen in Vegas with the ACMs, the ACAs, the billboards, you know, which deals with country as well, and plus just you know every country concert and everything else. And he said, "Come with me to Miranda's trailer."
Wow.
And so I walked back. I just left the red carpet. And I was also, you know, at this point I had put in my notice from People. So I was like, oh, what are they going to do, fire me before leaving the red carpet? But
That's a great feeling to say. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So I went to the back. It's red carpet related, but not quite.
It starts at the red carpet.
Yeah, it started there. But I went back with him to the Miranda's trailer. And she didn't do any interviews that day. And she saw me and, you know, the ACMs were only a month previous to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, "Didn't we just do this, Mark?" And I said, "We did, but now we're going to talk about something else. What do you want to talk about?" And she wanted to talk about our trailer because she has this new trailer that she has. The trailer is doing a tour of America.
Wow.
Where it was going to stop in select cities. And her CD, her album just came out, I think this week, I believe, or last week or something in that nature. And at the time, though, it wasn't out. So it was going to stop in these cities. You could sit in the trailer. There's a bar in there. You could drink and listen to this new album, whatever, and hear the stories of Miranda or something like that. So she was telling me this whole story about, you know, this trailer. So, and one of the times I took a photo of her outside the trailer with her, she okayed it, and I also gave her a photo approval. And we ran this story on the trailer with Miranda standing in front of the trailer. So that was started on the red carpet.
There you go.
Lambert has won close to 2,000 awards in Las Vegas, by my count.
She's so sweet, too.
She's a nice – she comes to the media center. She does all the whole thing. You know, she's a very
classy
lady.
Now she's really skinny.
She's very skinny. She's beautiful. She looked terrific with that Underwood duet.
Did you say the underwear?
I was just about to say, wait, did you go to the trailer, too?
Carrie Underwood. Lacey Underalls. Anyway, we got to wrap it up, Mark Gray. Thank you for coming down here. Sir. The recently former correspondent, Las Vegas correspondent for People.
And still freelance correspondent.
And Steve, look for his byline. It's going to be around locally and nationally, it sounds like. You're going to stay in Vegas.
I'll be here.
Well, that's good. When you get your feet under you in this free agency period, we'll bring you back. We'll make you a recurring guest.
And we'd share the red carpet together.
And we'll talk about our topics on the red carpet because I won't be very busy. Thanks, Mark, for coming down.
I'll come by and say hi.